PDF page 105 starts out part 3 of the lecture for week 9. On PDF page 105, we have beginning of the vignette, which is a Journal of Statistical Software article for the JM package by Dimitris, who also wrote the very good IRT package for R in Europe. JM and R package for joint modeling of longitudinal and time to event data. And there's quite a bit of activity on this. And so on the webpage, I have a number of links to various British groups that are looking at this, Join R and Join RML, various presentations. So there is more work being done of this, but it's useful as kind of a capstone for weeks 1 through 9 to come back to basically the combination of time to event data, which we've been doing the last few weeks under survival analysis, and measured longitudinal data, such as growth curve data, which we looked at in both experimental and non-experimental settings in weeks 2 through 6. So putting those all together, and they often both occur in the same data set, therefore you have two different analyses, but on the same people, there is a statistical point of view that one should try to do that as a joint model. And there may be some advantages to that or avoiding some problems. So in longitudinal studies, measurements are often collected on different types of outcomes for each subject. Several longitudinally measured responses, such as blood values relevant to the medical condition under study, and the time at which an event of particular interest occurs, death, development of a disease, dropout, etc. These outcomes are often separately analyzed. In many instances, a joint modeling approach is either required or may produce better insight to the mechanisms underlying the phenomena under study. And so JM is one of the earlier packages that does this. We're going to look at AIDS data, CD4 counts as measured longitudinal data, and death as an outcome for time to event data. Two types of outcomes. Still on PDF page 105, the first page of the article, namely a set of longitudinal response measurements and the time to an event of interest, such as death. Two typical examples are HIV and cancer studies. In HIV studies, patients who have been infected are monitored until they develop AIDS or die, and they're regularly measured for the condition of the immune system, such as markers CD4. Similar to cancer studies, event outcome is death or metastasis, and patients also provide longitudinal measurements of antibody levels or other markers, such as PSA levels in prostate cancer. So that's the setup. We have both kinds of data in many studies, and package JM is one of the ways that does this joint modeling, but there are a number of others that are linked, but as usual, we're only trying to do one in presentation, because otherwise we get even more lost. Okay, so PDF page 107 is just continuing from the vignette. Two outcomes are often separately analyzed using mixed effects models for the longitudinal outcome and a survival model for the event outcome. We know how to do both of those. We're whizzes at that, aren't we? When interest is on the event outcome, we wish to account for the effect of longitudinal outcome, such as a time-dependent covariate. Traditional approaches won't work because they're on the same people. And that's the argument. In order to produce valid inferences for a model for the joint distribution, a model for the joint distribution is required, or the better way to do it. And you may be interested in the survival outcome or in the longitudinal outcome. And these are both. So a mixed effects model for longitudinal outcome. This is originally done in LME, now you can use LMER, and time to drop out our model. Okay, software for the package is LME and LME4. We used LME4 because we're a few years away from this vignette, but it's essentially, of course, for our purposes, the same thing. And the Cox-PH, joint modeling. JM, section 4 indicates capabilities of package in a real data example from HIV research, which we also do as the class example class handout jam phrase example. That is my Rugosa session is posted. So we have the AIDS data, PDF page 108, two different drugs, D and Z. Okay, both longitudinal survival data collected to explore the efficacy and safety of two antiretroviral drugs who failed or were intolerant AZT as therapy. So time is time to death, CD4, CD4 count, drug DDC or DDI. So there's C and I for the two hard to pronounce drugs. And gender, female, male, might want to know whether there's differential effects for males and females, and a number of covariates. So that's our setup. We have both growth curve data and CD4 counts on multiple occasions, and we have time to event data. Data frame contains ID, first CD4 count, measurement for each patient. This data frame is used to fit the survival model. And we have that, and then we have our analysis. Joint models, PDF page 110 is just picking from the JSS paper before we get to our work through it, which is our main event here. Maximum likelihood estimation for the joint models is based on log likelihood, joint distribution, time to event, longitudinal outcomes. That sentence doesn't say a whole lot, but gives you just a lead in. There is some of the detail of the technical detail. Many will want to skip past that. And we can look at residual plots, properties or features of residuals, when longitudinal and survival outcomes are separately modeled, have been extensively studied, different types of residuals, linear models, and that. Residuals based on the fitted joint model, and then using a check is more difficult, and there's some residual work here, so that's one thing to note, PDF page 111. And then here's a little more on the JAM package, PDF page 112. I just try to walk you through the vignette. Seems like good. Okay, model fitting function is called joint model. Takes the survival analysis object and the growth curve object and does it all together. That's PDF page 12. And there's various methods, and this has evolved. And different groups have different ways of doing it. And we can extract or calculate several useful statistics based on model summary and statistical significance, empirical Bayes estimates, fixed effects, random effects, fitted residuals, plot, etc. Estimation of predicted survival capabilities is estimated by SurveFitJM, and that's, of course, a useful outcome measure we want to use. And PDF page 114. That all said, PDF page 114, getting towards the end, gets us actually into the example, which is where I wanted to be. Longitudinal study on 467 HIV patients who failed on the AZT drug. The aim of the study was to compare the efficacy and safety of two alternative drugs, I and C in this notation, random assignment. That'll be useful in our LMER model. CD4 counts are recorded at study entry, and well as, so 0, 2, 6, 12, and 18 months after. By the end of the study, we had 188, so about a third, a little more than a third, had died. So 60% were censored. This is the data. Test for treatment effect and survival after adjusting for CD4 cell count. Okay, differences. Due to the fact that CD4 cell count measurements are in fact the output of a stochastic process generated by the patients only available at the specific visit times, it constitutes a typical example of a time-dependent covariate measured intermittently, which error for which the joint modeling is required. So there's one way of taking care of the time-dependent covariate by fitting a growth curve, using that to smooth, and using those coefficients to help the survival analysis. So there's AIDS, AIDS ID. C4 cell constant owner exhibit right skewed shape distribution square root. So way to make it more symmetric, square root of CD4. And we have figure one, subject specific longitudinal profiles, and the Kaplan-Meier estimates. And we'll do that in our analysis. So data AIDS, summary AIDS. AIDS is long form. AIDS ID is wide form. I'm beginning my Rugosa session, PDF page 115, or just look at the ASCII. So we have AIDS is long form. AIDS.ID is the wide form, which you could use for survival analysis separately. I do an XY plot. I do a plot of SERB fit, and you can fit the naive Cox model also. And so let's take a look at plots. Here's the individual spaghetti plot trajectory for both C and I drugs formed by random assignment week zero. And then going on, whether you take week zero out as a baseline and fit the four might be more consistent with the way we did things in week five. It's a good point. They don't do it here. So I didn't do it in this analysis. So PDF page 15, I did the group XY plot, square root CDT by drug. That is the two groups. Also did a plot SERB fit. And you can see there may be a longer survival for C, but DDL kind of merges at the end. So it doesn't seem, may not be that big a difference, but certainly there seems to be slightly better survival under C until the very end. And we fit the Cox model and we get about I has a little bit of improvement, X about 40%, and it looks like significant for I. So from our plot shown on PDF page 117, we could see that drug C, DDC, seems to lead to longer survival times. And from our analysis just of the naive Cox model, we can see the hazard for DDI is about 40% greater, and that's significant, and that's reflected in the survival curves. Higher hazard, lower survival. So I is going to have lower survival. Those are our initial plots. And from the vignette, we see the same sorts of things. I created the same plots he did. Both groups show similar variability in longitudinal profiles. The DDC group has higher survival than the DDI group after 6 months of follow-up. And so we went on and did the Cox pH. And then the Kaplan-Meier on PDF page 119, just taken from the vignette, we see the same things. Okay, now to the new capabilities of the joint model analysis, as shown in my session on PDF page 120. We're going to fit a linear mixed effects models for the CD4 count. Here we're using LME because that was at the time, and we're the only difference is in the syntax for the random part. Random tilde obs time is paren 1 time in our usual thing. This is the Brogan-Kuttner analysis because there is random assignment to treatment. There's not going to be a pretest difference. So you basically have a drug effect, a drug difference, group difference on rate of improvement or rate of decline, and but not on pretest. That's how you get the interaction and the main effect for time. And the Cox model. So we have fit LME and fit serve as our basic Cox model. And then we fit the joint model. Incorporating joint model just says I fit an LME and I fit a serve. The time is obs time. So that's PDF page 20. The fit.jm is Our attempt to do a better job by recognizing that both these analyses came from the same people, that might give us some added precision, but we fit the obvious growth curve model. Is there a drug difference in the growth curves or the rate of change for CD4? And is there a drug difference for survival? We know how to do those separately. Here we compare them, and we can compare the joint model versus towards the bottom of the page. One way to ask whether the drug had any difference is to do a Cox pH with no effect, that's FITSERV 2, and a Cox pH allowing a drug difference, which is what we did with FITSERV. FITSERV has tilde drug. FITSERV 2 has no drug effect, assuming there isn't a drug effect, no survival effect. Doing an ANOVA on those two with the joint fitting, and we see we get a improvement or a difference, 1 degree of freedom, chi-square likelihood ratio, chi of 5.23, which is going to give us a significant effect for the drug using both. And so that's borne out just by the vignette pages, FIT-LME on PDF page 121, and FIT-SERV, FIT-JAM2. I just repeated this, and you can see that the joint modeling gives us an effect of the drug using both the CD4 counts and the Cox pH. And we can get some nice residuals and marginal cumulative hazard. And you can get into this. And again, there's further tools in JoinR and other things. This gives you a basic idea of what the joint models are doing. And JM Bayes, PDF page 124, is another version of this using MCMC. And this is also Demetris. So this work continues on. As I say, there's a lot of work in the UK. But you saw the basic idea. We can have both growth curve and survival analysis data, which is a nice way to capstone weeks 1 through 9. So we're done just a little bit early today, which is good because in a real class, and I emphasize real, we would have discussion and questions, and I wouldn't be lecturing for 110, 115 minutes straight as I have been in previous things. So it's good to give you a little bit of time back. Of course, for course administration, I have posted at the end of October the first part of the problem set. Now all the problem set is up with the posting of the week 9 materials. This is due on the 20th, according to the university, and there's various notes on how to submit, but I'll gladly receive inquiries on that. I haven't gotten any for my first appeal, but on the page, problem page, and in these lectures, I've mentioned various options, so we can do that. Next week, we'll have some special topics that are of interest, reciprocal effects, structural equation models, stability, also known as tracking, and maybe a few other comments just to finish out dead week. But this is the completion of the core of the class. And you can see we've tried to at least give you an entry into these various longitudinal data issues. There's always more to do in your individual applications, whether it be neuroscience, education, cancer research. You'll see additional complications, but the basic approaches you'll be able to recognize. So there's always more to do. We tried to get you started. There's a lot of longitudinal research going on, both in micro and macro longitudinal settings. So we'll call to a close week 9 here. Remember the problem set. That's the way we're doing remote instruction. And thank you all.